Look, I'm down with that. I think Marvel might be like hiding secrets of the universe inside.
Which Marvel star is most likely to be an alien, and why is it?
This is the easiest question you've ever asked me. I know. I'm gonna let you guys think because I know the right answer.
It's got to be Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's got to. No, it's
Benedict
be...
Cumberbatch. The end. The end.
Oh, that's true.
He's not even hiding it well. It's like an alien with a bad toupee. Hello and welcome to episode number 517 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these episodes, pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter, which we still call Twitter, because we're never going to not call it Twitter, at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking The More You Know.
But before we do that, you might be asking yourself, so what will the live show even be like? Well, on Saturday, September 2nd, we will be in Austin, Texas at ACL Live at the Moody Theater. My dad, Chuck, is very proud since he knows what that is because of PBS. Thank you, PBS. But to be clear, this is not just like a Wednesday episode recorded live for 1 hour. That's not what we're doing, right? This evening is 2 hours of absolute delightful idiocy. It includes almost our entire team that we ship in from all over the country. You do not want to miss it. Aaron will be on stage. Indy, Jason Waterfalls, Evan, Ladybug, Dotson will be on stage. Plus, a few surprises are happening too. Now, we take your favorite types of episodes and we kind of cram them into a night full of joy and laughter and chaos. Plus, I'm unedited, so I plan to do a post-show talk on the socioeconomic impact of Virgos being your rising moon. Now,
there you go.
This is a perfect weekend for a date night, a girls' night, a bros' night. Bring your podcast teen. Or if you want to just attend on your own, we might have a special bonus gathering for those who are coming solo, hosted by Indy. You can email hello at knoxandjamie.com if you want more details on that. 1,300 seats in Austin are already gone, but there are still some great seats at a great price. Plus, if you use code BIRTHDAY, you can save a bonus Jonas 25% off. Learn more about the podcast live by clicking the link in the show notes or heading over to knoxandjamie.com/live or go straight to tickets at knoxandjamie.com/Austin.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Jamie, it's time to do The More You Know.
The more you know.
We got some stuff to talk about. Nothing big. Just like everybody getting in trouble. Just
everybody
being in versions of trouble. It's interesting. We'll get to it, obviously. But before we do that, obviously, we always start with our ask a personal question. And for people who go through this episode and listen and like the rhythm, like the content, like the style, if you want to get 3 of these every single month delivered straight to your patron feed, just go to knoxandjamie.com/Patreon. And we do this for BFOTS almost every single week of the month. So you can check that out. But Jamie, do you want to start us with our ask a personal question?
Yes. So my personal question comes from Caitlin Westgate, who asked, I want to be on Jamie's side for the live show. Does Jamie give off stage right vibes or stage left? Okay. So I do have a side of the stage. Knox is very kind because I'll be like, do you have a, and he's like, I don't care. And yeah. And maybe he does care, but he knows how much more I care.
I don't. Both sides are not optimal. So it doesn't matter. You know, it's whatever.
Facing forward is like your least favorite part. So Aaron, you're a theater major.
Yes.
If I'm on the side that's to the left of Knox, what side am I on?
Well, stage right and stage left is determined by whichever side you're on from the performer's perspective.
Okay. So not the audience. So right. I am on stage left. I'm on stage left because I wear my hair parts and my cowlick and my stubby neck situation. So if I'm going to be looking at Knox while he's talking so that I can pretend I'm listening, I always need to turn to the right. And that's why I stand on stage left. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So that I give up. But listen, Caitlin, if you bought tickets, they were assigned seats. So
yeah,
I don't know that you can swap. But
it's too late probably at this point.
Yeah, I hope you're on stage left. I will say I bought my dress that I'm wearing, and I have decided to wear it both at both shows, the same dress, because I love it that much. Aaron, you saw it. It's so pretty.
It's very pretty.
It's very pretty. But the V-neck, I asked my mom. My mom's a quilter seamstress, and I asked my mom to deepen the V because it currently lands at, like, my esophagus. Where's your esophagus? In your throat, right?
Somewhere around
somewhere.
There.
High. Okay. It's high.
Just so many titles of your sex tape. I'm just not going to, like, say which ones, but, like, everyone knows. If you listen to
okay, good to know. But anyway, she was like, when I was like, could you bring it down 2 inches? She was like, are you sure? And I was like, Mom, they're boobies. It's fine. And I was like, my neck is so short. It gives me like a neck. And she was like, well, if you feel okay, if you and the Lord feel okay about this, I will do it.
Wow. She brought JC into it.
Tried to, like, shame me. Not really. Guess what? I know she'll only do it 1 3/4. That's what I know to be true. So she's trying to protect my purity. I appreciate that so much. So.
I think that's good. I haven't landed. I think I'm going to go pretty, like, just chill, you know? I've tried, like, go bow ties in the past and, like, sweaters and, like, blazers, and those are just not really, like, flattering. So I think I'm just going to go very nice but casual, you know?
Well, you know, we've been recapping, like, the past 10 years on Instagram and stories, and we did a set of stories on the first live show, and everybody was like, Knox is so young. Like, Knox is, and you're in it like just a button down and jeans. Yeah. Remember how he held his hand every picture he took? Remember how he held it right at his belly button?
Listen, there's no like, I wish college would be like, here's how to be a podcaster. Here's how to be a human in the world. Here's how to take pictures as a man where you want it to be a good picture, but you don't want people to be uncomfortable. So, like, do you hover your hand? Do you just hold like a fist like you're a street fighter? What do you do? I don't know these things. I didn't know. No one told
that's
me.
Fair.
You know?
That's fair. Okay. What's your personal question?
My ask a personal question is from Renee Bell, and she says, personal question for my boy Knox. Are you all building a house? If not, what is happening on Ash's Instagram? If yes, are you okay? It'd be interesting if I said I wasn't.
God.
And she'd be like, what's Ashley up to?
Well, Ashley is building her own house without
right.
you. Yeah.
That's right. I can confirm we are building a house last Christmas after our copper pipes exploded. And it was like the you know, the like the lower class version of the Titanic. That's what our bedroom looked like for, you know, a few, like a week or so.
Yeah.
That broke us. So we were like, we're just tired. We can't do this anymore. We love the house. And we've done a lot of like reno on it. And there was some deferred
Ashley's
maintenance
made it so
that we
pretty.
Had to,
she's
done
so pretty.
Great. She's done awesome. But it's just like, it's just 63 years old and we're tired and we're just not wanting any more surprises.
And here's the kicker. When I bought my house, which is 1939, however old that is. Okay. When I bought the house, the guy said to me, he said, this is the age house you want. He said, because if it's like 20 years younger.
Yeah.
There was drama in the 60s, drama in the 60s.
Okay.
And how they did pipes and how they did electrical. And he was like, you either want to be really old or super new with a credible contractor.
What was the drama in the 60s?
Yes. I don't know. I don't. Well, there's lots of drama in the 60s, but
like house drama.
I don't know. I don't know if it was alien. Maybe that's when the aliens first got here, and they
maybe just all the contractors were really on the Cuban Missile Crisis, and they were like, "I'm just not in a position to work, but I do have to finish this house, so it's not going to be
that's
the
right.
best."
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
I don't know. It's just so we are building. We've got 5 acres on some family land, and we're wanting to move next summer. There's a pond where I can walk over and fish. We're close cousins, close to grandparents. We're going to do a garden.
And close to no strangers, right?
You can't see our house from anywhere. I can't see any other house from where we're at. it's going to be glorious. The barn we bought from the Nestor, that's going to be my office that I'm going to work out of. And I'm currently, this is some breaking news, I'm in negotiations with Ashley. We're at a standstill. You know, it's kind of like the writer's strike.
Okay.
We're not seeing eye to eye.
Uh-oh.
Her offer on the table is she would like dogs, plural. We already have dogs, plural, but she wants more dogs, plural. She wants chickens, and she would like a donkey. And what I'm bringing to the table, I don't want any of those. I want solar panels, and I want to harvest rainwater. And aesthetically, she doesn't want that brought to the table. So we are at a real impasse.
She's doing a little like Little House on the Prairie, and you're doing World War Z.
I'm skewing a little prepper, a little Nick Offerman in The Last of Us, you know.
But chickens can be part of a prepper. Chickens will give you eggs. The donkey is just decorative, but like
donkeys seem like they have a good vibe. I don't know, but it's like what
they have a great
it feels
vibe.
Like. Yeah, a donkey's got to have purpose. You can't just have a donkey. Just have a donkey. Donkey's got to have a reason to be.
Why does a donkey just do it all? Why just do all of it?
All the animals can be friends,
and the because solar panners.
I hear what you're saying, Aaron. I like solar panners too. I think they're awesome. The aesthetic I'm bringing to the table, she does not like, and all the maintenance and upkeep she's bringing to the table, I'm not interested.
Oh, because like, is it like me? Like, I want a dog, but I don't want to walk it or feed it or have it sleep in my room.
Sure. Yeah,
dog to walk in the neighborhood. I wish somebody else would let me walk their dog.
See, that's great.
A lot of people would let you do
that. I need to start doing that. Jamie's offering to walk your dog two tacos. So.
Okay, here, can I hit you with a Shark Tank idea? This is an idea my oldest daughter and I have cooked up. It's just like puppies on demand. If you're just like, I'd like a puppy for like 2 hours, we just roll up in a van. We've got a bunch of puppies. You pick, you spend 2 hours, and then we come take the puppy back.
So you would be driving a commercial van.
Yep, that windowless. Says,
do you want to hold this puppy?
Do you need puppies, kids? Do you need puppies, comma, kids? I don't see a problem with that, Sharts. So just hit me with your offer later on. So
I'm doing great.
COVID cough. Is that a COVID cough?
That's a TB cough from Jamie, everybody.
TB from me. Wow. Oh, no. Climate change. Okay.
Okay. So that's our Ask a Personal Questions. Let's go to, I'm going to do last time we did the morning, we did Yes Chef, No Chef. Unfortunately, this is just No Chef.
We are not good chef.
No.
Because we're going to run through several different items that are not ideal. And I think the question, organizing question, I want us to try to think about, and I want the listeners to consider as we talk is, who is in more trouble of all the things we talk about here in this situation? Jamie, would you like to start us off?
I'll start us off with Lizzo. Lizzo is in trouble because 3-4 dancers, Crystal, Ariana, and Noel, they sued the singer, accusing her of sexual harassment and creating a hostile work environment. So they sued her and the dance captain, Charlene. This is relevant. just for some highlights of that lawsuit.
Yeah.
So in 2023, the year of our Lord now, when they were in Amsterdam, Lizzo allegedly invited the dancers to a strip club where she hounded her employees to engage with new performers and catch things that were being ejected from performers' Pikachus. Okay?
Okay.
Which I have a lot of just engineering questions about. Like, and maybe that's a God question for heaven, but
yeah.
how you get some wind, some propulsion behind that?
Like, there's an X-Men factor to this where I'm like, I don't understand what we're talking about and how we're talking about.
That's right. You know? And maybe I've been doing it wrong. So if someone would like to DM me, help me out. Okay. Yeah. And then also encouraged a security guard to get on the club stage and then wanted them to go to a nude cabaret bar, and they were pressured to participate in a nude photo shoot. Then they go after the dance captain, Charlene, because she would both proselytize about her faith, but then it would also bring up Ariana's virginity and would simulate oral sex on a banana and share her own self-pleasure tips.
Wow.
So it was complicated.
That is a very complicated, like, just summation you gave just about the dance captain, which I don't even know what that is. And her name's Charlene, which is like a Steel Magnolias thing.
Part of me thought, are we the Charlene of the podcasting world? Because we got a review this week. And if you'd like to leave us a nice review, that would be super duper. So we got a review this week on Apple Podcasts. You can go to noxandjamie.com/apple and you can leave us a 5-star review. And she had a lot of issues with us. But she ended with, I know it's not a Christian podcast, but I wish I didn't even know they identify as Christian so I could enjoy it more as just two secular individuals instead of two Christians behaving nothing like a Christian. Also, title of a sex tape, right?
Wow.
Right, right. So what I got from that is theologically, she mm-hmm. wishes we were condemned.
Yeah.
So she could have a better time listening to us.
Okay, okay.
It was a weird vibe.
Are you still like in those review streets? You still like doing a little drive through? You know,
I do. Listen, you know why? Because most of them are often like they are targeting me.
Okay.
Like one person said, she acts like a teenager. She needs to grow up. I was like, fair. Wow. That's a yeah. fair critique. And then Jamie is so annoying. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's the vibe I'm bringing to this podcast. So I like a good review. I know that it's not healthy for you or Aaron to read reviews because they somehow like write on your soul in some way. And like,
no, I want to find them.
Yeah.
And be both like, of you here's why Jamie's not a teenager friend. Okay. I want to like, this is why this right. stupid thing you said. And why you have to take it back. And I know that's, you know, that's.
But
that's
this one was super fun because she was just like, I have loved
fun.
Him forever.
Fun
but
is a word.
Now that, yeah. now that they, the fact that they believe in the Lord ruins this totally. Which I kind of like the dichotomy of that
yeah.
completely. So plus I know, listen, I actually know the secret. If I post that on Twitter, people are so kind to say nice things about us. So it's like
sure.
a little like.
You just drown it
like,
out.
Yeah, like people were like, no, you've actually helped my faith more than like any church has. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Man, so. that's wild, honestly. Aaron, do you have your, do you have like a 30 days sobriety from reading reviews, Chip? Or it's okay if you fall off.
Or did she no just judgment. Open them up to start
no,
reading them?
No, I did check the other day, unfortunately. I have been sober before.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a journey.
She'd gone sober on something else recently, and I allowed...
She brought me back in.
I brought her back in, and I'd been sober for like a year and a half, and I was like, well, it got introduced to us in a weird way, and I was like, okay, you can use your Fensta to go do this.
Wow.
And then she would just, every day, it was like, do you want an update? And I was like, uh-oh.
You want to hit
and
it?
I'm back. I'm
sober again. Okay,
I'm 10 days
good.
Sober. 10 days sober.
Yeah. Just wipe that powder off your nose and we're starting a new one. Yeah.
Did you see that Lizzo hired Marty Singer, an attorney who has previously worked with Jonah Hill, Kim Kardashian, and Chris Brown to represent her?
We're getting a lot of Chris Brown attorneys in today's episode, by the way. He is one. Also, the dancers. Here's where I say it's a complicated thing, and I think it's going to have to go to court in order for us to get any kind of accuracy, because here's the thing. So following the allegations of the suit, a former creative director for Lizzo came out and said, yeah, she's the worst. And then another dancer came out and said, yeah, she's the worst. And then a filmmaker who was working on a documentary with her in 2019 said, I dropped out because, quote, I witnessed how arrogant, self-centered, and unkind she is. Reading these reports made me realize how dangerous of a situation it was. Now, Lizzo has denied it. She has, of course, done her notes app. She did not apologize.
Yeah.
One, she can't apologize. We're talking about legal standing, so you're not going to get an apology out of her. But I did think it was interesting. Writer Roxane Gay, who is a longtime supporter of Lizzo, she said this. She said, there was just no taking of responsibility, no direct engagement with the accusations, and no apology. I think we all know how the court system works, so I doubt she could offer the statement that people would have liked. If she doesn't want to just settle, which she can, just honestly apologize, settle, and move on. But we'll see what happens. The dancers did their first interview on TMZ.
Okay.
Which is not the right move if you're looking
right.
for credibility.
What's wrong with TMZ? What's the problem there? They seem great.
It just seems so weird because I'm sure she could have been interviewed. They could have been interviewed by any like morning show or
yeah.
like daytime talk show. Now, Lizzo has lost more than 200,000 Instagram followers over the course of like 36 hours.
Wow.
And so people have feelings. I'll be curious because, like, could I believe that this is all true? 100%. Because Lizzo has a long history of talking about, I make people sign NDAs constantly to come to parties, to do anything with me, you have to sign an NDA. And that is not common with every celebrity. But for her to be so honest, and she's always been like, I'm a weirdo. Like, but the problem is you can be a weirdo, but you can't be a weirdo with your employees.
Yeah.
Like
and you can't project, you can't sit in a situation where bananas are being projected out of orifices and be like, this was fun bonding. You just can't.
Yeah, you can't. Know, and
allegedly.
To pressure people who don't feel comfortable being in that environment, but you're literally their employer. Like if I know anything from what Christiana has taught me about HR, it's there is a line and I go right up to it. No, I don't. but there's a, you can't cross it. Like it's very uncomfortable. So I'll be curious to see. I don't think she'll be as impacted as people think she might be.
Interesting. The other like creative professionals who came out and were like, yeah, she sucks. That was alarming to me, you know, because I'm always like, I don't know, like, we'll see. It'll suss out. That was tough. But if she was faced with, if Lizzo and her PR team, they were like, you can go with, I'm sorry, the dancers. If the dancers were like, you can go to TMZ and do your story, or you can go with Mr. and Miss Ripa on the morning show. Who would you have recommended?
I would have recommended Mr. and Miss Ripa.
Why can't I remember his name? Is it Dave?
Mark
Consuelos.
Mark Consuelos.
I knew that wasn't right, but I was like, man, he looks like a Dave, like a hot Dave.
Aaron knew it like she speaks like a mantra every day. What?
Yeah.
I think he's cute.
He is cute. He's very hot.
That's like, a really attractive looking man. It's just the truth.
Yeah. Wasn't he on soap operas?
He was.
I think he was. Look at Aaron.
That's how they met.
Really?
Look at Aaron in the pop culture streets right now, just dropping refs everywhere. Okay, let's do, so that's one. So, that's a no chef. That's someone who's in trouble. Another person or group of people who are in trouble. I'm going to call it kids having to get into, back into the school year routines. I'm also just going to throw the teachers and the parents in there as well, because like I looked at my daughter this morning, they start Wednesday. Like by the time people are listening, she's starting, and she rolled downstairs at 12:45 and I was like, I love it. Love the vibe.
Hit.
If I could do that, I could. I would love to do that. I was like, but realistically, logistically, do you want to get up a little earlier tomorrow? Because Wednesday is going to be just a cold blanket of truth to you and your soul. And she was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I just like to the teachers, to the parents, I think we all thought technology was going to set us free, you know, with all this school stuff. But now you're just obligated to have 4011 different accounts with unique logins and passwords that you'll never remember. And kids have
for
to become
what?
you got to do your Buzzle Waffle to make sure you get the pictures that the teacher has to take. Teachers have to take pictures of kids now
that have Instagram
you know.
Accounts now.
Yeah, they're like,
but
they're
what?
They're doing school, here's them doing their homework. I'm like, hey, can we just let teachers teach? I don't know. Like, I know what my kids look like, and I know what they look like when they're not paying attention. It's burned into my mind. I don't need you to send me pictures of that. But then it's like they have to run successful newsletter campaigns where they tell you about all the snacks rotations and the field trips coming up in 6 months, which maybe tell me in 5 months. You don't need to tell me now.
And yeah, you know? And can I just say from a non-parent perspective, I would like for there to be some sort of presidential platform on just teachers don't have to have lists anymore, because if I have to complete another list for a teacher out of guilt and shame, it's too much. What we should do is not guilt and shame people on the internet. We should guilt and shame Congress.
Yes.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
It's tough because it's like teachers go to school to be teachers and their job is to be teachers. But the more time goes on, they have to be therapists for parents, for kids, photographers, newsletterers. They have to know all the things. They have to be fundraisers. And it's just like, okay, that's fine, but let's raise that pay a little bit. And maybe they'll be compensated for all these
How
extra things they have
dare
to do.
You even
but it is
suggest
it is
that.
Just like our kids, they go to schools who have to use RenWeb, which is RenWeb's one of those unicorn situations where no one thinks it works well, even the employees, of which I've had this conversation with, but we all just keep using it because of inertia. Like, it's like if the airline industry and the DMV came up with software for education, that's RenWeb. And it's just terrible, and it's just absolutely awful. And I just wish, I think if you have two kids and you're thinking about having a third kid, I think someone should intervene and be like, hey, you can definitely do that. But just know, the amount of meetings and activities and orientations that you're going to have to go to is going to multiply like 15 to the power of 11th, you know? So just like know that before you make that next plunge.
That's
so
smart.
It's just,
or if you're going to have three kids, you should do it like in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, so that they all go to school in one room, you know?
That's
and
great.
So the meetings
That's
are just
smart.
With that one teacher.
Let's bring that back. I like that vibe. Aaron, I know you guys are probably getting ready for school. Do you have like any particular things that are making you insane?
Well, I'm just trying to understand like why we're still going back to school, right? Like this summer, this summer, a man sat down in front of our entire government and said, you guys have been keeping information about non-human biologics and non-human activity secret from the public since the 30s. And the government was like, maybe. And my child's teacher is sending me emails about whether my kid is a bus rider or a car line rider. Like, he needs an education when the alien overlords come to drain his life force for their energy crystal. We went to Oklahoma this weekend. We went to Oklahoma this weekend for family reunion, and it was 107 degrees at 9:15 p.m.
No.
In Oklahoma. And I'm supposed to scan a QR code to make sure I've signed up for PTO? For what? So I can be on PTO when the sun finally puts us out of our misery? And the only thing left is a charred remnant of the QR code? Like, people are mad at Lizzo and I have to add money to a school lunch account? Like, okay, if aliens are real, money isn't real. School, PTO, buses, the government, work, this podcast, it's not real. A lunch account isn't real. Listen, I was on CNN earlier. I was on CNN.com. And I
that
saw
almost sound like Aaron conspiracy voice. Listen.
Okay,
hey,
listen. No, listen. Yeah. This is crazy. I saw a headline that was like, meet but don't touch the toxic invasive worm that's been hiding in plain sight.
Yo, I saw that one too. He looks like a real mother father, you know? Like, whoa.
You want me to send my kids to school? I have to worry about them getting shot and a worm that is both toxic and invasive as well as hidden? I think it's time. I think it's time. Humans had a good run. Let the aliens take us. I surrender to Jesus and the non-human biologics. I can't be a part of any more class dojo, mojo, casa houses. I'm done. I'm take me now.
Listen, if you think Aaron's handling her youngest child going to kindergarten really well.
No, I'm not. I'm not handling it well. Some vandals came and put a sign in my yard that says, welcome to our elementary school.
No, look, ask me for permission, okay? Ask me before you do that. You're just going to put that sign in my yard.
He is so
also, to be fair, those witnesses in Congress, they just were like, no, I know the guy who definitely saw something. Like, it was never any of the people who saw
I
the
know.
Thing.
But the point
Don't
is,
do this,
those
Jamie.
People are being those people are being silenced.
I think there are aliens, but I just want to hear from the person. Why have
they
I got to hear from?
Can't be. Those people are being silenced.
By who?
Yeah,
by the people in charge.
By big UFO dog. That's woo.
Yeah, it's exactly.
The problem, but to both of your points, I had some issues with, you remember Pete Davidson's Chad on SNL?
Yeah.
Both sides were like Chad. It was just like, I know aliens and I know this guy, Rick, who did them. And Congress is like, okay, cool. And then they're like, do you have any proof? And he goes, no, okay. Cool, you know, whatever. Just take my word for it. And it's just like, can someone just be like, hey, I've got
a picture. More than we're telling.
We've seen the video. We've seen the video.
Which video?
The video of the flying UFO.
Which one?
The TikTok the TikTok thing. The Derek
where they're going sideways.
Got it.
On plain English, he was like, actually, I don't know. It was like a Tamagotchi that got shot into the air and
absolutely not
perspective was gone or whatever.
Entanglement. That's what we got to.
But you know what? See, here's my conspiracy theory. Okay, let me just invite Conspiracy Knox in for a second. I think the last Ant-Man was so bad that quantum stuff is real, but they didn't want, it was like the messianic secret. Like they didn't want people to know about quantum stuff yet. So they're like, let's make the worst movie possible and put Corey Stoll's big baby stupid face in it.
Okay.
And then we'll have more cover for like 10 more years to like do quantum
stuff. Look, I'm down with that. I think Marvel might be like hiding secrets of the universe inside.
Which Marvel star is most likely to be an alien? And why is it?
This is the easiest question you've ever asked me. I know. I'm going to let you guys think because I know the right answer.
It's got to be Hot Guy.
Yeah, it's got to. No,
it's
got to be.
Cumberbatch. The end. The end.
Oh, that's true.
He's not even hiding it well. It's like an alien with a bad toupee. And it's like, okay.
You know who else? You know, he looks like Sid from Ice Age 2.
He does. He does.
I love that Aaron has one pop culture reference and she says every actor looks like that one person.
Hey, we should do a new podcast and it's called Sid Degrees of Separation. And it's just...
Trademark it. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's good.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura Frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura Frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They are so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Okay, Jamie, who else is in trouble right now?
Okay, so NBC and Bravo, and it's really because they've been treating their reality TV stars bad. Now, this comes from, there's actually 2 stories. The first one comes with Bethany Frankel has been very adamant that reality TV stars need to unionize, because she's like, oh my God, I want to strike. Look how hot everybody is. And when they're striking and outside of Universal Studios. And so she thinks, and the main thing that she wants to fight for in this union is that people should get residuals when their reality shows are repeated into whether they're spinoffs or anything like that. Now, as a reminder, Bethany Frankel was on The Apprentice : Martha Stewart. She was the runner-up. She was on Real Housewives of New York City for 8 seasons. She was in Bethany Ever After. Then she was in Bethany and Friedrich. Then she was on it. She had a daytime talk show for 1 year. And then she had a reality competition series called The Big Shot with Bethany. She's also been a shark on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And, but the thing about it, here's the comedy. Listen, I have no love lost for Bethany. Zero. Like, oh, no, I am not like a fan. Bethany. Oh, I do not like Bethany.
Why?
Because she just has an energy that's really like, and then she just cannot handle accountability. Whereas, listen, I recognize that maybe sometimes the things we do on here make you question our Christianity. So sure. I get it.
Yeah.
But like, I own that. I just don't like Bethany. I don't like her being like, I use drugstore stuff Guys, I use Aveeno, just like Jennifer Aniston. I use Aveeno. She doesn't. Like, she's not using, she's using very expensive products, and she's just trying to get more eyes on her TikTok. Mm. But the other thing is, my favorite thing about Bethany Frankel is that she's wanting to start a union, despite the fact that in her HBO Max reality show in 2021, she wrote into the contract that every contestant had to give her 15% of everything they made from then into eternity.
To infinite eternity? What?
Perpetuity! Until the aliens actually show up. And so what's happened now is that there's a group of unnamed reality TV stars who have hired attorneys Brian Friedman and Mark Garagos. There's our fun attorney, Mark Garagos. He represented...
Okay.
Michael Jackson for child molestation and Chris Brown for when he abused Rihanna.
Man, that's a real spectrum of offenses, to be honest with you. I don't know that's fair. Hey, Jason, will you bleep out name? I don't want to toss her in there with those guys, you know?
It's different, right? It is a different group. So this group of unnamed stars sent a letter to NBC, and it claimed that both current and former reality TV personalities have been subjected to, quote, grotesque and depraved mistreatment. Is that true? For sure, probably. Like, of course, right? However, it was probably all outlined in a contract too, like, to be honest.
Sure.
Like, you had to make a sacrifice. It said that that cast members were threatened if they speak out about their mistreatment, which is an NDA.
Yeah.
They would distribute revenge porn, which is illegal, by the way. So that I need to see a contract. Like, I just need to see some contracts. Anyway, they denied mental health treatment to cast members displaying obvious and alarming signs of mental deterioration. If you've watched any reality show, that, like, do y'all get that on Survivor? Like, when you watch Survivor, are there people, like, losing it? I would think so, right?
Yeah, but they're supposed to be like, you're hungry and tired, so that's what this is. It's okay. But, like, that's episode 6 of The Bachelor. Right? That's usually when that happens. You know, I don't know anyone who loves me. I haven't seen the internet, and I'm being gaslit into thinking that this guy loves me.
I know. And listen, this is an open letter from some attorneys. That's not legal action.
Yeah.
But they did ask NBC to take immediate, they were like, pretty please, don't delete any documents that prove our case. Okay. And NBC was like, no problem.
Yep.
We'll make sure that all those drives are intact. So to me, this is like, I don't know. And look, do I want reality stars to be treated badly? No. But I do want reality stars, like, most of them go into it reading a contract or not reading a contract and then being like, wow, I didn't read that contract and that's problematic. And I probably shouldn't have gone on American Idol because look at now what my life is like. Or I shouldn't have gone on Real Housewives because how dare they be in my house filming? It's like, you there's only so much you can fight about, to me. So this is just... It's just lame. It's just lame.
Yeah, I don't think everybody's really in trouble either. I think it is when you look at it though, it's really the perfect kind of business model to lightly exploit a population because you are getting their labor. I don't know this off the top of my head, but I know the compensation is not great, you know? So you're getting to leverage and use and exploit that. And then it's so decentralized. And it's so decentralized that not one person can, like, Bryan Cranston or Fran Drescher or Tom Cruise can't be like, movies are important. And everyone's like, they are important and we should end the strike. There's no galvanizing force with reality TV stars. And to that point, they're mutually unlikable. So it's not someone you want to root for. So it's kind of the perfect storm of, they should probably be able to unionize, but they're never going to be able to because no one respects them, no one likes them, and you don't know any of them really. Beyond
like, are we gonna as a nation be supportive of the president of the union, Tom Sandoval? Like, are we gonna do that? We're not gonna do that. Like, are you kidding me? No, absolutely. He didn't give us the bear. He gave us chaos, and he ruined her life.
Month 9 of not knowing what that means, and I'm so glad.
The people who know.
Let's go to another, these are two people, but you could broaden out a little bit that might be in trouble. And this is Zachary Levi, who, did he ever say like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to be Zachary. I'm not Zach. I'm not Z. I'm Zachary. I don't ever remember hearing that, but I just don't know why I have
and
to.
And Levi is say his middle name. It is not his last name.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
At least that's all I've ever known. Like, at least he didn't change it halfway and be like, now you're supposed to respect me and do this. Because
I think it's always been Zachary. Levi.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. We'll deal with that later. So Zachary Levi and Gina Rodriguez, two actors. I think I like them. They've been in good stuff. I think they're very good at what they do.
They both have a history of problematic behavior.
Yes, unfortunately they do. yes, they unfortunately do.
Yes.
they have been, well, they've already been cast. The trailer for Spy Kids Armageddon just dropped, and they're the two parents. And being the two parents in Spy Kids is like being on Dancing with the Stars. It's not the end of the world,
right?
But it probably is the end of the world.
Is it?
You know? Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
because 100%. I saw one news release that was saying this, and it was describing the movie, and it said Gina Rodriguez of Jane the Virgin, and Zachary Levi of Alias Grace, and I went,
"Oh, whoa, that, what?
Like,
Shazam couldn't get in there? Chuck couldn't get
he's
in there?
A superhero?
That's anyway, Flynn Rider, dog. Like, we're not going to say that. Can, in the
streets? Here are the questions I have. So they're playing the parents of Patty and Tony Torres.
Those are two children. Those are, we're supposed to believe that those are two children names. Yes, that's
why
correct.
Why do they have boomer names?
I don't
and
know.
And why is it in the picture? Okay, so Gina Rodriguez, who is Latinx, and Zachary Levi, who is super white.
Right.
Okay, why is it their children just match them? The son is super white and the daughter is Latinx. I don't, that's not how that works.
It's complicated. It's very complicated. But I think even more complicated is you watch this trailer, which I did. They're in it for, I think, 4 seconds.
Yeah, which it's very short.
Billy Magnuson's the villain. He's nowhere to be seen in this trailer. So that's an issue. I understand why Zachary Levi probably is not in this because he's kind of got the he's got a real. I had some issues with the Barbie movie energy going on about him right now. You know, where it's just like let's just put him on the shelf for a minute and see if he cools off.
He did just say at a Comic-Con that he was like, I just don't understand why I can't promote the things I'm in and why I can't talk about the work I'm in. You're in a strike, bruh. You're in a strike.
I don't know what his media strategy is right now. It's very strange because it's like, I'm going to get as close as I can to being weird and problematic without actually being that. But I'm going to make you uncomfortable. And it's like, I understand why some people do that so they can like, they can raise red flags, but when you raise red flags, you also like get the other red flags, you know? So it's like doing something, but it would be like if Biden was like, I know you think I'm too old, but I'm in defeat. And it's like, okay, but like, I don't want to know that. And it doesn't change anything for me. It's just different, weird.
And,
you know?
And listen, Gina Rodriguez, she doesn't have ongoing controversy. She just had that one controversy. I think it was like 4 years ago.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one because she's an idiot. Guys, when you are lip syncing a song, when you're lip syncing a song, if you are not black, you cannot lip sync the N-word. Like, you cannot. And she did. She did it in an Instagram story. She used the N-word. So
I would also say, don't film yourself lip syncing. Who is that for? It's like saying, well, I read 74 books this year. That's not for anybody.
Are you not on
that's
TikTok? That's what TikTok. That's the foundational from which TikTok arose.
I don't like it. So it's not good for them. But I will also say it's not great because I don't know if you've, do you have a Google alert for Spy Kids like I do? Because I'm very invested in this.
Yes, I love Robert Rodriguez.
Of course you do.
Of course,
okay.
I want to know what
so
he's doing.
So you're probably similarly alarmed because he's really, I wasn't paying attention to Martin Scorsese's press tour for Silence, like a very important faith movie.
Yes.
But that's how he's carrying himself because he says in an EW article, he says, this is the reboot that starts a fresh story in the franchise. There's going to be Easter eggs calling back to the first four films. Nobody needs Easter eggs from the first four Spy Kids. No one cares about that. No one wants that. Okay. He said, I've been getting calls from all kinds of studios. They've been saying like reboot Spy Kids, reboot Shark Boy. Of course they all want to. They're all sitting at home with their kids. They love it. And it's, that's what we call a lie in the business because no studio exec is like, get Robert Rodriguez on the phone and tell that man to reboot Shark Boy. And Lava Girl, I think. I don't even know if there's a standard.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Know.
That's right. Okay, listen, my thing about Robert Rodriguez, Aaron, would you like to get, I'm going to tell you the names of his children and you tell me which one's not real.
Okay.
Okay. These are his children. And this is relevant because his oldest co-wrote Spy Kids : Armageddon.
Yeah. Okay. He's got credit.
Okay, so that's Racer. I'll give you one.
Okay.
Racer Rodriguez.
Racer Max. Please say his full name.
Racer Max.
It helps. Yeah.
Okay. Rebel.
Okay.
Rocket.
Okay.
Rogue.
Okay.
Rhiannon.
Just one of them is fake?
Yeah.
Rocket.
She's probably lying.
Rocket.
She's
no, that's not true. They were all real. All of his children.
Yeah, yeah. You had to be lying. Yeah.
I had to. Rocket Valentine. That's my favorite. Rocket Valentine Rodriguez.
Yikes.
I mean, if a man, as someone who has kids who have weird names, I understand that this might be self-inflicted, but if you can't trust someone to name their kids, can you trust them to write a story, like write a movie that's going to be good? I don't know. But like for Gina Rodriguez, after this movie, She's got one called Players, which has already been pushed to 2024, so because of the strike, not anything she did. But she stars opposite of Tom Ellis, who I didn't know who that was. His name sounds like fancy menswear. And I looked him up. He looks like if Roy Kent was a Twilight vampire. And she's in a movie with him. And I don't think that looks great.
Tom Ellis was Lucifer on the TV show Lucifer.
Did you watch Lucifer? Are you going to sit here and say, I watched Lucifer?
I watched a pilot of Lucifer. That's all I watched. But people who love Lucifer.
That lady's still listening. Who's like, I don't like them to be Christians because she's going to freaking blow her mind apart.
I know. But people love. They love Lucifer. Listen, I like that in that movie, Players, she's a sports writer.
That's right. That's right. A very lucrative job right now. Very lucrative.
Everybody wants industry. To be a sports writer. Yeah.
But like Zachary Levi, he's attached to a lot of stuff, which I read as like, is he going to be weird? So let's just wait and see. But he's in a movie called Undercover, where he's a divorced dad in a custody battle, and he starts a band with one of the Sprouses. I think it's Cole Sprouse. Him and Cole Sprouse are friends, and they have a band.
Yeah, because Dylan just got married to Barbara.
That's right.
I don't think it's Dylan. I think it is Cole, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Dylan is on an extended honeymoon with his very hot wife.
Yeah, very hot wife.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's not looking good for either, just in different ways.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear. Wearing my pair eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's paireyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Jamie, do you have another one you want to talk about?
I do. Okay, so true crime podcasts. Did y'all know the true crime podcasts are having a really moment? Because TikTok is furious. Mm-mm-mm. Gen Z is not having it. Now, true crime is varied. As a reminder, there are podcasts that feature financial crimes like The Dropout and war crimes like The Line and drugs like Retrievals and civil suits, also Retrievals, robbery, harassment, stalking. But the big crime of choice, of course, for most true crime podcasts is the murdering. And then murder, I think, falls into two categories. There's investigating the murder.
Yeah.
We've recommended podcasts like Serial, Gone South, The Accused, Tom Brown's Body. Like, like, these are all more investigative or, like, looking back and can we learn more? And maybe it's unsolved in that way. Or maybe someone was, like, the accused. They were wrongfully convicted of the crime, mm-hmm. right? But then there is, let's just chat about murders.
Yeah.
Let's just have a good time about murders. And so there's been a bit of a reckoning. Now, the top 10 podcasts today on the Apple charts, are six of them are true crime. So it is a beloved genre. But TikTok has pushed back on, hey, should we be making money making comedy about murder and victims? And some of this started back up again, because there's always been the question. I mean, we've had true crime since Truman Capote. But, like, true crime has always had a backlash anytime something feels like it went a step too far. And Dahmer really did start the conversation again, because yeah. Dahmer tried to center the victims more, the miniseries. But it was really graphic and awful. And none of the families were really involved with that project. And so people were like, it's still just really exploitive. And it's,
every time Netflix served it up and was like, hey, you want to watch this scene from Dahmer, you'll probably love it. And it was like, eat this chicken sandwich I made for you. And stop. Aaron, it was not a chicken sandwich. I don't know if you knew that.
It was not. So, of course, at the forefront of this is My Favorite Murder, probably the most popular. Well, I know it's the most popular true crime. Washington Post calls it eavesdropping on two friends' conversation about murder at mm-hmm, a party. Mm-hmm. And it started in January 2016. The fans are called Murderinos. There are 200,000 members in its Reddit group, which is crazy. Amazon paid more than $100 million for exclusive distribution. They make $15 million each a year.
Oh.
$15 million. Okay. Oh. And it is the second highest earning podcast, according to Forbes, behind Joe Rogan. They have 35 million monthly downloads. 35 million.
I would love to be canceled by TikTok and make $15 million. To be honest with you,
I know. Guys, can we get that started? So they have a long history of problematic things. They had a catchphrase that was "Stay sexy, don't get murdered," which okay. Is great, but the image included a teepee, like a Native American teepee. TIPI. Did you know it's spelled TIPI?
I learned today, learning
and growing. But people were like, "Hey, do you know murder's a real problem for women in Indigenous communities?"
And they're like, "Well, why the teepee? Why the TIPI?"
Well, they were like, "It's not TV, it's a tent, because women get murdered in the parks." So I don't know. It was a situation.
Camping and get murdered, as the saying goes.
Women be camping. So, and then they had, like, they started their own network. And this will always be my, forever, Knox wanted to start a network, a podcast. And I was always resistant, because I was like, what if somebody does something crazy?
Yeah.
And we're not prepared. Well, that would be what happened to My Favorite Murder. They started a podcast network. And one of the guys had a podcast on it called The Murder Squad. His name is Billy Jensen. He was an investigative journalist. He was accused of sexual harassment and sexual assault, and they had to let him go.
It's tough to be like, we're going to be the murder squad, because that does sound like you're the active component in that.
I know. Name. I don't like that. Plus, the worst part was the host of My Favorite Murder just were like, end of an era. And they're like,
what?
Like, that's not
of
great.
Sexual assault or association with the sexual assault?
I know. I don't love that. So, you know, look, somebody said, I did see one Redditor who defends them, who said, humor is a coping mechanism. We can consume this content that we are morbidly fascinated by while also being able to remove ourselves from it emotionally so we can tolerate it. Mm. I don't know that that's a good explanation. I like a Sarah Koenig looking for a Best Buy phone booth. Like, I love that, because I like that we're trying to find out if this is true or not. What I don't like is I just can't listen to things where women get murdered. That's just, I can't do it. Like, where we're just constantly like having comedy around women getting murdered. Cause I'm like, what if someone wants to have comedy around me getting murdered? That would be so sad.
We got to take down the Faith of Jason Jezebel episode and just get that out of here. You know,
because that's complicated. Right. Now.
It's difficult.
Right.
It's the weird nuance of like these two, like a serial season one belongs to the same genre as what you're talking about, where it's a little more exploitative, a little more lighthearted. And it's like, at what point do you draw that line? At what point can you be like, it's like the unregulated, the democratization of being able to talk about whatever you want to talk about leads to some really great stuff and leads to awareness that we didn't have. But it also leads to some bozos being like, let's do a murder squad and sexually assault women. And that's fine.
I know. One of our green lights was a docuseries on Netflix called The Keepers, which was about Sister Kathy, who got murdered. But what I loved about that docuseries is it involved her students telling their stories about her and her coworkers who loved her in the community. It also acknowledged that, Yes, she was murdered and it was awful. But there was it was very centered on Kathy. Even like the image on Netflix was of Kathy. Yeah. And so I like that. And I think there is a way that you can do it so it doesn't have to be
it feels like if you're honoring the victim, that is okay. If you're honoring the sensation, that's a problem. That's not
weird.
For the right
reasons. That's weird. But is it worse than Zachary Levi? As ever ranking? I don't know.
We'll find out. You think he's in defeat? How many U.S. presidents do you think are in defeat? Because like statistically, it's like 1 in 6 or something.
There's 46 presidents, right? 46?
I couldn't.
Aaron, how many presidents are there?
There are 46. I only know that because
real?
Of the 45 hat that Trump used to sell.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So 46.
But are you counting like double term dudes as like a second? Like
I don't know. I'm basing this
on
Trump's hat.
No. Like Obama was the 44th president the whole time.
Oh, gotcha.
But like,
okay.
Wasn't there a president that was like president and he's like, I'm out, and then he comes back? Like, would, if Trump won the election next year, would he be still the 45th president? Or would
I don't
he
know.
The 47th?
That is some math for Trump.
Is this good content?
It is good content. It is. Because I didn't know that. And that is wisdom. And I also don't want to think about stuff like that.
I don't know
that.
The answer. That's also a Sharon Says So question. Please but refer all your DMs to her. Of like
but my the under question, and Aaron, if you want to chime in here too. How many of the 46 presidents have been in defeat, do you think?
I have a guess.
Oh,
I've got Taft. Taft is definitely in defeat.
I think it's 41.
Coolidge. Toss
I'm
him in
thinking
there.
Like a solid 27.
Oh, yeah. Both Andrews, Johnson and Jackson, for sure. Yeah.
Bill Clinton, definitely.
Bill Clinton, absolutely. George W. Bush, absolutely.
See, I think Bill Clinton was into other stuff.
And his dad.
Ooh, okay. You could tell me an HW.
Jimmy Carter, no. Jimmy Carter, no.
No, Jimmy Carter, but he was into aliens.
Yeah.
Which he now saw one. Because he saw one and he was like, I'm telling y'all. And we were just like, you're so kooky. He is still alive. He's tiny,
good
but he's still alive.
See, the problem is when you say I saw one, your credibility reduces like 40%.
No. He like went through all the proper channels and he saw one before he ever became president.
I've just always felt like when you go fishing and you bring up you catch and release and the fish goes down and it's like, man, they like touched me and like did like talked about me and like took a picture and then they sent me back down and all the other fish are like,
listen,
okay.
I definitely think Obama's in defeat based on his playlist that he released each year, which I know he has not listened to all those songs and he's tricking us. But, and then Trump for sure.
Yeah.
Joe Biden also.
Sasha and Malia make that playlist for him.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. There's no way. Yeah.
But I feel like both of you guys were into my fish theory, but you just didn't want to talk about it. So that's okay. Like, we'll just wink, wink.
No, I want to ponder it because it's really actually kind of fascinating.
That's an employee making her employer
no,
feel
no, no,
better.
No, it's not because when you think about it that way, I think about ants like that all the time. Like, what do ants think about us?
Ants don't think about us.
No, yeah, no, they do. Are we their gods?
No, we're not their gods.
We might be.
Not in an ant's life.
Yeah, in an ant's life.
They were gods?
We are their gods.
Do they even like understand us, or do like Big Tree moved, killed Gary, and now our home is sad? You know,
I
don't know.
I think ants think about us the way we think about airplanes. Like, there's one, and that's it. Like,
I don't know. Ant-Man seems to have a really good handle on the world. You know, I just feel like he's got like a really good sense of things. So to be continued, I guess.
Well,
you know,
that's fair.
Okay, let's do last one. Is Netflix in trouble? And this is probably a little weird because it recently was reported that in the second quarter of this year, they generated $1.5 billion in profit. That's net, not gross. That's net profit. So there's been a lot of hand-wringing about, you know, is Netflix like a fraud, phony? Like, is streaming broken? Well, they're making a lot of money. Like, they're doing it right, and everybody else is not. So Netflix seems to be tracking pretty well. But I want to think about it in terms of content because I saw, according to Nielsen ratings, the most watched original TV show for the first half of the year was Ginny and Georgia.
Listen.
All the TV we've made, all the great stuff. And Netflix, because there are so many subscribers, is pushing this like half rate meth on people and making them watch it.
Yeah.
And that's a little disturbing to me. There's some other movies that have been pushed, but Jenny, have you ever watched Ginny and Georgia? Like,
no, I haven't. The only thing I remember about Ginny and Georgia is Taylor Swift got very upset that they made a joke using her name, and she like she issued two tweets about it.
What?
Something about don't treat women badly or something. Taylor, you have a history, okay? Like, we're allowed to exploit your history. If you can make $1 billion off of us, we can exploit your history a little bit for a joke on a TV show. What are you talking about?
It's a tougher look to be like, I heard the joke about me on Ginny and Georgia. and I have two tweets to say about it. You know,
yeah, that's a weird vibe. Also, like, and the statistic, it's when we say Ginny and Georgia is most watched, this is 60 million views in the first half of the year.
Sure.
60 million. That's nuts. Do you want to know what the number one movie is that came out this year?
Was it Extraction 2? Because that's a freaking sick movie.
That's what
movie.
You think it is. That's what you yeah. think it is, because it has 111 million views. But no, with 126 million views is The Mother, starring Jennifer Lopez. So yes, Netflix is in trouble. Okay? And you listening who watch this BS, you're also part of the problem. You are part of the problem. You know not to watch The Mother. We told you that. We put it in the kill, on Smooch, Mary, Kill, and yet you insisted on watching it, and you were like, it was awful. You all came back and were like, this was awful. And I'm like, I know it was awful.
You know what? Okay, let me just like spin zone here. Let's just embrace debate for a second. As a connoisseur of The Gray Man, Red Notice, et cetera, things like that, rich content pieces, what if Netflix actually, because they have all the data, they're like, actually, we're just a lot of trash and we have trash taste and that's what we watch. So we're going to make trash for the trash. And like, they're actually winning when, like, you know, we'll do prestige stuff like The Bear or What We Do in the Shadows, No Shade. And like, it's good stuff, but nobody watches it. You know, like the conversation around Succession way outweighed who actually watched Succession. You know what I mean?
So you're saying Netflix is kind of the Taco Bell of the streaming network.
That's right. That's right.
And so HBO Max is the what?
It is the what's the it's like the In-N-Out Burger, you know?
Okay.
But maybe not even that. Maybe not even just very boutique-y, like only open on like Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sunday for 1 hour, you know? Where it's just like, nobody goes here. Nobody patronizes this as much.
That's right. And so it's like, sometimes people just want to, I always now remember, anytime I open Netflix, I remember that they change the cover photo of a thing based on the other things you watch. So like Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, and this is sad, it will always put up Kate Hudson as the photo. And I'm like, I like James Bond. Why won't you use Daniel Craig? And they're like, no. You love Bride Wars. Don't lie about it. You love that stupid movie.
I wish there would just be like a chat form where you could be like, okay, Hudson, like I wanna undo some of the decisions I made because I don't want to carry that with me. You know?
Yeah.
I wanna like be clean through Christ, like on this stuff, Netflix. So
that's right.
I don't know. Because of the strike, they had a slate of movies that was gonna be released. And I found these movies to be fascinating because they're very strange and different. And, you know, we've talked on and on about the gourmet cheeseburgerification of Netflix and how they are going for this kind of middle brow Taco Bell at 11:45 weeknight where everything else is closed and you're coming to us anyway. I'm going to give you three movies. You tell me the one you wished you could have seen the most.
Okay.
The first one is Spaceman, and this is Adam Sandler, Carey Mulligan, and Paul. I say Dano. Some people say Dano. Whatever. That's a weird 3-0.
Do you think it's Spaceman or do you think it's Spaceman?
Spaceman? The Leo Spaceman origin story?
I think it might be like a trick.
If it's the latter, I'm all in on
it. I don't want to see that at all. Like,
it's not at all. Adam Sandler plays a kid who is orphaned in the Czech Republic and he's raised by his grandparents and he overcomes odds to become an astronaut. I don't think this is real. I don't think this is a real movie. There's no way.
There's no way.
I just... What? Like Adam Sandler? I don't understand that.
No, I don't like that.
Another one is Damsel. This is Angela Bassett, Robin Wright, and your favorite actress, Millie Bobby Brown. She plays a young woman who thinks she's being married to a perfect prince, but she's thrown into a pit, and she discovers she's not going to be a princess after all, but actually just a sacrifice for a dragon. And then she tries to survive and hijinks ensue. Is there part of you that wanted to see like Angela Bassett or Robin Wright? In this outside.
No, we're not doing this anymore. We're not doing this whole, I'm a princess, but not like I'm also like, I can throw stuff in the year of our Lord Barbie. We are not doing that anymore.
Okay.
We're not doing that. I'm not engaging with that. So no, okay. I'm not watching.
So that's
that.
A no. All right. Let me throw this one. I think Aaron, this might be interesting to you. This is called A Family Affair. And I'm going to read the summary first. An unexpected romance triggers comic consequences for a young woman, her mother, and her boss grappling with the complications of love, sex, and identity. The people involved are Nicole Kidman, who comes to this place for magic, Joey King, and Zachary Efron.
I actually don't know if I'm into that.
So what if I told you that this movie is directed by, I think written and directed by, the guy who did The Fisher King, The Bridges of Madison County, and Behind the Candelabra?
I don't want any of this. I only want
happy movies. I only want movies that are
it's a
Barbie.
Romantic comedy. It's a romantic
I don't believe
comedy.
It. It doesn't sound like it's going to be funny.
And it's like it's very respected and like they have boundaries and everything.
I don't think that sounds funny. I don't think Joey King is funny. I know Nicole Kidman's not funny. And I'm really just sad about Zac Efron right now. And his
what if Keith Urban has a cameo part in this movie?
I know he's not funny. I know.
So, okay, Jamie, in summation, we've got Netflix content. We've got True Crime Podcasts. We've got Zachary Levi and Gina Rodriguez. We have NBC and Bravo. We have kids having to go back to school, parents and teachers. Lizzo, and I'm going to go ahead and toss in presidents who are in defeat. Who's most in trouble of that group?
I think presidents who are in defeat are thriving. So I would say it's Lizzo. Lizzo is in the most trouble right now.
Okay, well, that is our conversation on The More You Know.
The More You Know.
As always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know at drjamie.com/517. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
What is your red light this week?
Oh, my red light this week. I'm coming over to Over Underachievers since I don't know that I would ever belong on that show. Knox and Jason Waterfalls have a lovely sports podcast that you can listen to, Over Underachievers. But I have some sports news that I think I am breaking to you. Yes. And it is my red light. And it goes to Lane Kiffin. Knox, would you like to explain to the audience who Lane Kiffin is? Just a quick, like who he is for context.
Lane Kiffin is the son of a successful defensive coordinator who was born on third, and I don't think he thinks he hit a triple, but he just really likes being on third, you know? And in terms of personality, he's like a very stupid, but really cool golden retriever, you know?
Perfect.
Loves shagging balls and like chasing tail, you know? And that's and he coaches Ole Miss now. So.
That's right. So he's the head football coach at Ole Miss, and that is a perfect description to lead into. He hard launched a new romantic relationship on social media, and he did it on National Girlfriends Day, and he even hashtagged National Girlfriends Day for it, which is the most Lane Kiffin thing you can do. Her name is Sally. Sally is in fundraising development at SMU in Dallas. As a reminder, SMU is a place where we had a live show last year, and they did not turn the air down, which is why we added it to our rider for this year for our live show in Austin, that the air has to be on a certain temperature. Sally has ties to Ole Miss as an alum, so that makes sense. You're like, oh my gosh, they have so much in common. Now, Sally, because her name is Sally and she's a development officer at a college, sounds old, but she is not. She attended Ole Miss and graduated in 2019.
Well, maybe it's one of those like maybe
no, born in 1997.
Okay.
you thought you could come for me. Listen, Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart was a global hit, along with Celine Dion's All of It's Coming, or It's All Coming Back to Me Now. And Sally wasn't even born yet. Okay. Meanwhile, Lane was playing those hits in his Toyota Corolla while assistant coaching at Fresno State. Yeah, Sally is 23 years younger than Lane's first wife, who he married when his new girlfriend Sally was in the first grade. I wonder how that back to school was going, okay? Sally is super hot. Like, y'all, Aaron, look up Sally and Lane Kiffin. Sally is super hot. Like, next level hot. She should be dating Harry Styles, Michael B. Jordan, Timothée Chalamet. But red light to you, Lane Kiffin being a cliche.
Oh my gosh.
Can I counter you?
Isn't she hot?
Some would argue that Lane Kiffin is the Harry Styles of the SEC. So she's accomplishing the thing you're saying, just in a
Are
different way.
Are you kidding me?
I will say, I mean, he's cute.
I'm not saying it's right.
He's not
He's cute. He's cuter than Saban.
So you're good with that 23-year age difference.
I'm not good with it.
No, listen, am I good with it? No. Is this a reality of the life that we are living in? Yeah,
What if I told you I heard a rumor, and I cannot reveal my source, but what if I told you I heard a rumor that when he made this new contract with Ole Miss, he required use of a private plane so he could fly back and forth to Dallas to see his girlfriend?
Oh, I 100% believe that.
Right?
Coach is getting PJs, man. And I'm saying PJs, personal jets, not the other weird one. You perverts who think everything's about sex,
wait,
even
what's
episode
the
titles.
Other wait, what's the other PJ?
No, they just might think I said another letter.
A BJ?
Nope, I didn't say that. I didn't say BJ Novak.
I just
I
was
said
like,
PJ.
Pajamas? What are you talking about?
No. But like,
Aaron,
I think
look
if
up
you,
PJ on Urban Dictionary.
No.
Aaron, also look up Joey Freshwater, because that was allegedly, the rumor is that's the alias he used to pick up women when he was offensive coordinator at Alabama. And that's just A-plus level.
And the
alias.
Fun fact is, I bet Sally can help Lane Kiffin's oldest daughter with her freshman year at Ole Miss, which she starts in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, peers. You know, peers, it's good. Mentorship. Maybe that's part of the deal.
Listen, and here's my thing. As a social scientist, I just want to understand what's going through Sally's head. Now, everybody, when I tweeted about this, everybody was like, money, money, money. And I'm like, Yeah, she could make a lot of money with just her face and her personality, you know, like on the internet. She doesn't need to like hitch her wagon to almost 50-year-old Lane Kiffin.
Listen, I just, my favorite part was, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, when they played Alabama and he was like, get your popcorn ready, because it's going to be a great game. And then they got dump trucked, like
Thank you.
10 minutes, they were down like 30. That's just the vibe he gives off. So I'm just really, I'm just happy that he's happy.
Well, you know? And by the way, Sally looks exactly like Lane Kiffin's ex-wife, but 23 years younger.
I do think he has a type.
She also looks
very
exactly like his daughter.
Yeah,
I would
thank
say.
Thank you. That's weird.
That's tricky. That's tricky.
It's tricky. Knox, what is your red light?
My red light is, it's me. I'm red lighting myself because, I wagered some money on the U.S. women to reach the, World Cup final, not win, just reach. And, as people may know, they did not, they were defeated by Sweden in, penalty kicks. I was a little worried because they haven't like razzled or dazzled, offensively in this World Cup, but they did, they dodged a lot of bullets and they ended up, in the penalty kick round with the Swedes. And a couple times it felt like they were definitely going to win and then they ended up losing, which was heartbreaking for me, also for them. But I think also kind of red lighting, there is a vibe of like, this is our national team, but they're women. Ugh. They have opinions. Ugh. And they want to be paid more. Disgusting. And so like, there's been a lot of people like betting against them or rooting against them. And I just don't understand how like, on one hand, we're like, we believe in patriotic America, Jesus, but we also root against the women's soccer team. And I just, if you're one of those dudes out there, I just want to be like, that's your choice, whatever. It's really tiny pee-pee energy just to be like, I'll hope they lose because they have opinions and they want more money, because that's all professional sports, you know, is they have opinions and they want more money. Now, did I also bet against the men's basketball team in the Olympics? Yes. Not because they have opinions and want more money. I just thought they were cooked and I thought the Aussies had them. And the Aussies should have had them. They were up in the semifinals in the first half, but you know, whatever,
they did
whatever.
Go away.
But I'm just saying, red light to me for losing bet, and red light for the I don't like women who have opinions on stuff, and they have short hair.
Is the men's soccer team good? The U.S. men's soccer team good?
They're not nearly as good as the women's, but the women are in a transition period because you know they're a few years past like their prime, and you know they need probably some new talent, and you know they're going to have some turnover, and that's okay. But they were in the knockout round of the World Cup. You know that's a good team. It's a really good team.
Yeah,
everybody just chill out. All right, and think about me and the money I lost. Okay, quit thinking about all that stuff.
Let's focus on the right thing. Yeah,
that's right. Okay, Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay, so I have two green lights. They're two books. The first one is Congratulations, The Best Is Over by R. Eric Thomas. I love R. Eric Thomas. I love Eric. I learned about Eric when he used to write a column for Elle magazine, which was Eric Reads the News. And it was just him talking about what he read about in politics and pop culture. But this essay, I greenlit his first memoir of essays. And when I got this one, I was like, is it going to be as good? And because I love that one so much. And y'all, I think this one's better. He talks about returning home to Baltimore. It talks about his marriage to a minister, which is what led them back to Maryland. He talks about his love of Oprah's Favorite Things, which I also love. He talks about them trying to create a Nancy Myers kitchen. If you know, you know. He talks about going back to his 20th high school reunion, only to discover that his name tag was of a white guy with blonde hair and he is a black man. And he talks about really hard things and difficult things. And I think the beauty of this essay, which I think is really important whenever, because I'm not a huge essays fan, but it's something I think you do really well. It's something that Eric does really well, is that he really covers a gamut where you're going to be connected at some point. I also think Mary Laura Philpott does this well. Like, the stories may not all resonate, but the writing will. He is truly so funny in this writing. It is just hilarious. So that's my first recommendation. And then my second one, and this is not a surprise, I love James McBride. I have always, Knox loves James McBride because Knox greenlit the Good Lord Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
I was like, who's James McBride? And why do I love him? But you're right. You're exactly right.
And so that's an adaptation of his novel. The Good Lord Bird won the National Book Award. And that's a TV show on Showtime. I greenlit Deacon King Kong in 2020. And I like this book. So this book is The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. And Danez Smith, who is a book reviewer, he wrote, this is a murder mystery locked inside the great American novel. And that is 100%. It was like, if The Great Gatsby had more murder, than it would have been. And it had murder, but it didn't have as much as this does. And so the book opens in 1972. Some construction workers discover a skeleton, which takes us all the way back to 1925. We're in the neighborhood of Chicken Hill, where immigrant Jews and African Americans live side by side in a country that is pretty much against them. 1925, neither of these groups were elevated. And so we follow really two couples. We follow Moshe and Chona Ludlow. Moshe owns a dance hall and a theater. Chona runs the grocery store. That's the title of the book. And then they know Nate and Addie Tamblyn. Nate is a janitor at the theater, and his wife Addie, they're friends, they're employees, they're a Black couple. They kind of lead the Black community. And their nephew comes, and the state wants to make them a ward, and it's them fighting that battle together. Here's the thing about this book. It's tense, but it's heartwarming. It's heavy, but it's comedic. James McBride is a very funny writer, which is always surprising to be elevated at that level. That's why I think comedic writers they're very underrated. You should give them more credit. But let me say this. No one writes dialogue like James McBride. My only caveat is you cannot rush him. He is a storyteller, and like any good one, he likes to take his time, chase some rabbits. And what it reminded me of, this book was about the power of community. And listen, my other tiny green light, if you have not seen the Montgomery Riverwalk Brawl that happened this weekend, let me tell you about what happens in a small town. And that is, you're going to get the S word beat out of you if you try to beat up a security guard who's telling you to move your pontoon boat so that the ferry can dock. And listen, that video, I have watched that video on repeat. Hat tip to that person who hit that lady with a folding chair. Like, hat tip to them. Listen, don't come after a security guard just because they're telling you. Like, it's horrific. But that will restore your faith in community just like this book will. So I highly recommend both of these books.
My green light this week is a book. It's called The Wager: A Tale of Shipwreck, Mutiny, and Murder. It's by David Gran. David Gran is the author of Killers of the Flower Moon. Incredible book. It looks like it's going to be incredible. Scorsese movie, I guess this fall or December. I don't know when exactly it comes out. But this is I love stories set on ships. And I love shipwrecks. I love mutiny. I love all that stuff. Saying that though, this is an incredible book, and I highly recommend it. It takes a second to get into it, and there's a lot of terminology at first. You're like, what? And there's a lot of names where you're like, I don't know who we're talking about right now. So I think if that maybe doesn't sound super appealing, you might not like this book, or you might be put off by the beginning, but I would urge you to push past, because this is it's a true story of an event. Basically the wager ships off in, you know, the mid 1700s during a British war with Spain, and they're eventually shipwrecked. And accounts differ on what happens when they're shipwrecked. But later on, I think about a year later, one kind of ramshackle boat shows up on land, and they're rescued and they're returned to London to applause and everyone, you know, welcoming these conquering heroes. But then another ship shows up with other survivors who tell a very different story about what happened on the wager and how they survived. And it's a fascinating story about just different perspectives and about how there's not an obvious bad guy or good guy, but there's just people trying to deal with very desperate situations and being forced into making choices that maybe they wouldn't normally, but they are just trying to survive. And I think the resolution of the story puts a really neat bow on everything that happens. And the fact that it's a real thing that happened always makes it better to me. So I highly recommend. I listened to it. Maybe that's part of the confusion at the beginning, so maybe this is one that you read, but either way, however you want to consume it, I highly recommend The Wager by David Gran.
David Gran is so good, and I didn't realize that he just gets everything adapted. The Lost City of Z, Old Man and the Gun, Killers of the Flower Moon. This, The Wager has already been, the rights have already been acquired by Martin Scorsese.
I believe it. It's just a very cinematic writer, very cinematic stories. So it definitely makes sense to pick those up as movies. So definitely check that out. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you do shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst. So your purchases are affiliate link for item purchases using that link this week was, Jamie, this is just a medium black 3-hole punch.
Okay, so this got 4.8 stars for 1,600 global ratings. But I will say, Aggie did not like this purchase. Gave it 1 out of 5 stars. Wrote, going back, can't use it. There were no instructions.
What?
So, I know, Aggie.
How can you use a hole punch if you don't have instructions on how to use a hole punch?
I know. It's insane. It's a situation. All right, you guys, don't forget, we would love to see you in Austin on September 2nd. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/Austin. Use code BIRTHDAY to save 25% off tickets. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on social media at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.